In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Jonelle Tweed and Charlotte Chavez and Francis Romero. We also remember the repose of the soul of our dear brother Paul Chavez, who we laid to rest from our parish earlier today. Just as an announcement, I probably don't have to mention that to any of you here, but Fiesta is this weekend, so if you still need to get your tickets in, go ahead and get those in. If you're looking for more basket tickets, I don't know when they stop selling them, but we definitely draw for it during the or after the Mass on Sunday. Burrito sales are still going on, so if you want those chicharrones burritos, go for it. The numbers on the wall. Today we have this feast day of Pope St. Pius X. After Mass, at the end of it, as you leave, Fabian will be standing at the exit with the relic over there to be able to give you the opportunity to venerate the relic, ask for a grace from the saint whose feast day we celebrate today. Here's the question. The question for today in our meditation as we enter into the Mass is, are your bones dry? Is there a lack of life within you? Here's the solution. Receive the Eucharist worthily. Have right belief. That's what it means to love God. Have right belief. So how do we do that today? This Pope saint of ours, St. Pius X, he's the patron saint of first communicants, but also the patron saint of those who want to receive our Lord in the Eucharist. See, what he did was he lowered the age in quam primus in his letter to the church, saying at least by the time a person turns the age of 7, they're already ready. We don't have to be Jansenistic in saying that they have to achieve a great level of theology to talk about transubstantiation, so long as they can discern that it is bread different from natural bread, and that they recognize that our Lord is present and wants to come into them. That's it. That's all they have to do. And so he's the patron saint of first communicants. He was known to say that if angels could envy human beings, they're perfect, so they can't envy, that'd be a sin. He said if they could envy human beings, it would be for this one thing. Receiving Holy Communion. Tasting the body, blood, the soul, the divinity of God. For all eternity, they'll wonder at you and me who get to do that worthily from time to time. That's a way to give strength to your bones. What's the other way? To make sure you have right belief. In the gospel that Deacon Marvin gave for us, what did it say? It said, all you have to do is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with your strength, with everything. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's to give ourselves to a right belief in who God is and to live that out. Through an orthodoxy and also an orthopraxy, meaning right thought, right belief, but also right living. Living right, practicing your life in the right way. And to this, our great saint did something for us. Our great saint today, he offered us this beautiful oath against modernism. See, this is something that every person who was going to be a clergy member, a pastor, a confessor, a preacher, a religious superior, a professor in philosophical or theological seminaries had to say this. I'm going to give you that oath against modernism. See if you and I can do it. Modernism is the summation or the bringing together of all heresies that the church has ever had in one single massive heretical work. This is what each one had to do. They had to say, I firmly embrace and accept each and every definition that has been set forth and declared by the unerring teaching authority of the church, especially those principal truths which are directly opposed to the errors of this day. And first of all, I profess that God, the origin and end of all things, can be known with certainty by the natural light of reason and from the creative world, that is, from the visible works of creation as a cause and from its effects, and that therefore his existence can also be demonstrated. Secondly, I accept and acknowledge that the external proofs of revelation, that is, divine acts and especially miracles and prophecies, they are the surest signs of the divine origin of the Christian religion, and I hold that all these same proofs are well adapted to the understanding of all eras and all men, even of this time. Thirdly, I believe with equal firm faith that the Church, the guardian and teacher of all the revealed word, was personally instituted by the real historical Christ when he lived among us, and that the Church was built upon Peter, the Prince of the Apostles, hierarchy, and his successors for the duration of time. Fourthly, I sincerely hold that the doctrine and faith was handed down to us from the apostles through the Orthodox fathers in exactly the same meaning and always the same purport. Therefore, I entirely reject the heretical misrepresentations that dogmas evolve and that change from one meaning to another different from the one which the church had previously held. I also condemn every error according to which in place a divine deposit which was been given for the to the spouse of Christ to be carefully guarded by her. There is put a philosophical figment, or a product of human conscience, that has gradually been developed by human effort and will continue to develop indefinitely. Fifthly, I hold with certainty and sincerely confess that faith is not a blind sentiment of religion welling up from the depths of the subconscious under the impulse of the heart and emotion of a well-trained to morality. But faith is the genuine assent of the intellect to the truth received by hearing from an external source. By this assent, because of the authority of supremely truthful God, we believe to be true, that which has been revealed and attested by a personal God, our Creator and our Lord. Furthermore, with due reference, I submit it here with my whole heart to the condemnations and declarations and all the prescripts contained in the encyclical Pascendi and the Decree Lamentabili, especially those concerning what is known as the history of dogmas. I also reject the error of those who say that faith is held by the Church can contradict history, and that Catholic dogmas, in the sense in which they are now understood, are irreconcilable with a more realistic view of the origins of the Christian religion. I also condemn and reject the opinion of those who say that a well-educated Christian assumes a dual personality, that of a believer and at the same time of a historian, as if it were permissible for a historian to hold things that contradict the faith of a believer or to establish premises which, provided there be no direct denial of dogmas, would lead to the conclusion that dogmas are either false or doubtful. Likewise, I reject the method of judging and interpreting sacred scripture which, departing from the tradition of the Church and the analogy of faith and the norms of the Apostolic See, embraces the misrepresentation of the rationalists and, with no prudence or restraint, adopts textual criticism as the one true supreme norm. Furthermore, I reject the opinion of those who hold that a professor lecturing or writing on a historical theological subject should be first put aside any preconceived opinion about the supernatural origin of the Catholic tradition or about the divine promise to help and to preserve all revealed truth forever, and that they should then interpret the writings of each of the fathers solely by scientific principles, excluding the sacred authority with the same liberality of judgment that is common to the investigation of all historical documents. And finally, I declare that I am completely opposed to the error of the modernists, who hold that there is nothing divine in sacred tradition, or what is far worse, to say that there is but in a pantheistic sense, with the result that there would be nothing but this plain, simple fact, one to be put on par with the ordinary facts of the historical. The fact, namely, the group of men by their own labor, skill, and talent have continued through subsequent ages a school begun by Christ and his apostles. I firmly behold then, and I shall hold to my dying breath, the belief of the fathers in the charism of truth, which certainly is, was, and always will be in the succession of the episcopacy from the apostles. The purpose of this is then, not that dogma may be tailored according to what seems better or more suited to the culture of each age, rather, that the absolute and immutable truth preached by the apostles from the beginning may never be believed to be different, may never be understood in any other way. I promise that I shall keep all these articles faithfully, entirely, and sincerely, and guard them inviolate, in no way deviating from them in teaching or in any way in word or writing. Thus I promise, this I swear, so help me God. This very same statement of faith, if you and I desire to have our dry bones enriched, to be full of a lively faith and a fervent, ardent love for God in all ways, what we have to do is to have that right belief, which the Church teaches, trusting that she has given us everything, which she indeed has, guaranteed not by man, but by the work of the Holy Spirit alive within her Church. And as well, to make sure with that same lively faith that I worthily present myself as frequently as possible to what the angels envy, our Lord present here in the Eucharist. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.